Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you here this morning. My name is Paul. For those that don't know, I have a number of familiar faces from last time I was here about 2 months ago. And so it's lovely to be here with you this morning. I'll explain a little bit of my recent journey shortly. I shared some last week. My family sends their apologies. We're in the mix of turning our life upside down and moving overseas. So we actually have confirmation now for those who are wondering from last time. So we were a bit in limbo last, and so we're moving to the Philippines, to Manila. So it's going to be a real adventure, and so we'll be there for 4 years. And kids and family, all a little bit. There's a leaving party this afternoon for the girls, and they're just a little bit, just trying to not overcook it. So just me today. But let me pray before I continue. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise for your written word to us. And I pray this morning that my spoken words will bring glory to you, Jesus, our living and risen word. Amen. As I mentioned, it's lovely to be back with you again. When I was here last, I was mentioning I just finished up as vicar at St. Anne's, neighbouring parish of Northland in Wilton, after 7 years, and I kind of explained a little bit of this last time, but I'll say it again, but just that I found myself in one of those seasons, and it's only just amplified over the last, since the last 2 months I've seen you, and I've had opportunity to reflect on that. And it's one of those seasons where one thing had ended, but the new hadn't quite begun. It was in those in-between seasons and stages of life, and which, if I'm being honest, has been really disorientating. My usual focus and purpose felt like it had been removed, and it had. I was no longer busy and preoccupied with my significant role in leading the parish. Change and transitions, I'm sure we can all admit to in life, can be challenging. And through this season, I've realized how much I like to be in control of things. Surprise me, I don't know why, but it has. Not in an obvious kind of way of like wanting to have everything organized and everything timetabled. Not that kind of way of being in control. Although for some of us, that may be the way we are in control. It's more like maybe my wife's way of being in control of things. But it's more, control for me is more about understanding, having the right information, knowing what's going to happen next. For me, that's when I feel like I'm a bit more in control, knowing what's going on. And as I've reflected over these last few months, being in a position of power or influence, which I had been as a vicar. And I'm sure we can kind of imagine roles that we play in life that give us that kind of control and power. It gave more control than I realized. I got to be in the know with all what was happening and going on in the parish life. And I got to make a number of those decisions myself. And if I wasn't making them, I was involved in making those decisions. And although it wasn't always plain sailing as the leader, there was a part of it that gave me a sense of security and comfort. And so one of my reflections then has been that I like being in control more than I realized. It gave me that safety and comfort. So when this was removed, when my life circumstances changed, and I entered into this transitional phase, this unknown space, this liminal space, as we discussed last time, it has been destabilizing. It has given me a shake-up. Yet at the same time, the shaking has woken me up. Not so much as a gentle kind of wake-up, sleeping in the weekend kind of wake up, but more like a young child shouting down the hallway in the early hours of the morning kind of wake up. Not so enjoyable and not always that welcomed. And one of the surprising aspects of the Advent season is that it calls us to wake up. Rather than a gentle warm-up to Christmas, Advent can be a sobering time and also a time of renewal. Jesus, in our gospel passage this morning, finishes with those couple little words, but he finishes and he proclaims this idea of being awake, calling his followers to keep awake. Don't get distracted or be misled. And don't let those eyes close, but keep your eyes open. Keep awake. Our Old Testament reading from this morning from the prophet Isaiah begins with this shocking, and it should shock us, kind of that first verse, and I'll reread that for you. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. What a statement. What a prayer. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The author is obviously crying out to God. And the author is seeing all the evil and injustice in the world around him. He's crying out to God to come and make things better. Come, God, come and help. And it's here that we are caught up with the Advent cry that we find in the Old Testament. A whole of the Old Testament finishes with this cry unanswered. A cry of God's people to send the Messiah to come and rescue them, come and put things right. Come, Lord Jesus. Advent calls us to wake up. It calls us to wake up to what's really going on. Rather than being asleep, where we can ignore the injustice and the evil of the world, Advent is an invitation to face this reality, to be present to the suffering and pain of our own lives and the world around us. It's waking up to the realization that we can't do this by ourselves. No matter how hard we try, and with all good intentions, we can't save the world, and we can't even fully save ourselves. We need help. We need God's help. Come, Lord Jesus. The Christian journey, as we have probably pondered into this many times in our lives and stumbled in it maybe by accident or hopefully maybe a great revelation, but the Christian journey is about letting go, not trying to hold on tightly. It's about being weak, not strong. Making ourselves vulnerable, not trying to be perfect. This can feel so unnatural at times and maybe so uncomfortable at times. We try to protect, cover up our mistakes, hide or even run away from these realities. And this is just my journal entries from the last few weeks. You know, this is just reality. But the invitation through this season and the invitation of God is to freedom and to life. To be free from having to protect ourselves or cover up our mistakes, to be free and to live life until its fullness. To be free to be who God has called us to be. Free to abandon ourselves to God and his desire for our lives. There is this beautiful story recounted every Christmas in the forest of Provence in southern France. And it's about the four shepherds who came to Bethlehem to see the child. One brought eggs, another brought bread and cheese, and the third brought wine. This is a French story. and it's France. And the fourth brought nothing at all, and people called him Le Chante. The first three shepherds chatted with Mary and Joseph when they arrived, commenting on how well Mary looked, how cozy was that cave, and how handsomely Joseph had appointed it. What a beautiful starlit night it was. They congratulated the proud parents, presented them with gifts, and assured them that if they needed anything else, they had only to ask. Finally, someone asked, "Where's Le Chante?" They searched high and low, up and down, inside and out. Finally, someone peeked through the blanket, hung against the draft, into the creche. There, kneeling at the crib, was Le Chante, the enchanted one. Like a flag or a flame taking the direction of the wind, he had taken the direction of love. Through the entire night, he stayed in adoration, whispering, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." That is the goal. That is the desire. That is the journey we all search for. That contentment in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus. There's a contentment where we know who we really are. There's a contentment of we know where we really are and who we really are. And that's the invitation in Advent, to wake up, to know where we are and whose we are. If you've had suffering and pain, if you're acquainted with these things in your life, or maybe you feel low and not of any significance, maybe you've been given some challenges in life. If you're acquainted with these experiences, you're already on the journey. You're well on the journey. These things in life wake us up. We see past the facade that much of life puts up for us, that power and prestige and money and all these things try to distract us or give us some kind of false hope or reality. But when suffering, pain, challenge comes into our lives, the facade starts to fade away. Le Chante knew what was important. Le Chante knew the direction he had to face. He didn't care what anyone else thought or what was expected of him. Le Chante knew the direction that he wanted to orientate his life. That is our invitation in this Advent season, that we orientate our lives to God afresh, to Christ afresh, the coming of Christ afresh in our lives. We work towards that moment at Christmas, and we long for it when Jesus returns again and will put all things right in our world. His love and light, God's love and light, will be fully known in that day when the final Advent comes. But until then, we have moments of Advent in our everyday life where we can experience God's presence and coming. And the invitation that I offer is to attune your life to that. What would it look like to be like Le Chante? Allowing the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, to direct us towards Jesus' presence. What would that look like? What would we need to do? Maybe what do we not need to do to allow our lives to orientate towards that way of living? That when it comes to Christmas Day, we can, with the angels, celebrate and welcome Christ afresh, Christ in our world, Christ as the baby. Amen.